You want to put up it before, but I think you get our demo on
Good morning and welcome to Practice School Sunday.
Good morning.
Today I'll be reading Ephesians 1, 17 through 19, New Living Translation. Asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in your knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he calls his holy people for his rich and glorious inheritances. I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him.
Father, we are so grateful for this and other Lord's Day morning. We thank you for your rich blessings all through the week. Under your watch our eyes and under your mighty hand of protection. Thank you this morning that we all preserved in you and you are kept daily by your mighty power so that no weapon formed against us can prosper. So we bless you, we praise you, and we honor you as we pray, as we thank for our worship this morning. We pray, Holy Spirit, you be greatly in our midst. We pray that you would bless our speaker, Jordan Ford, as he ministers the word. Let your anointing be upon him, that he may speak forth your word with boldness, with anointing. Your word may find its place, lodge deeply in our hearts. We may meditate upon the precious truth of your word, Lord, day and night. We may become more and more like yourself. We thank you now for your rich blessings upon the service this morning. Thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. How's everybody doing today? I know I can't hear any of you guys, but I do got the chat going. So if you're glad God's got you through another week, go ahead and say amen.
Amen.
Stop your hands, stop your feet, and get excited. Because if you're not excited, I can't get excited. And I need to be excited to do well, okay? Amen. Now, so I know some of you guys are probably asking yourself right now, you know, wow, Pastor's really been doing good with that diet. As much as he has done well with the diet, I'm not Pastor. Okay, so I'm Jordan. You know, I can't look like this through a couple of months. different for us to be preaching this Sunday. So with that in mind, I'm going to need everybody streaming in on YouTube or the Facebook page just to help me out this Sunday, because this is most definitely going to be a group endeavor. Now, what they don't tell you about preaching is that you can't have a predetermined message. You know, when I started preparing for my sermon, I had a couple ideas that I wanted to preach about before I even read a verse. But after the first night and going through my Bible, all those ideas were pretty much trash. So now I'm starting from scratch. So I did the obvious thing. I'm asking for help. I asked my dad. I asked my aunt, my grandfather. And all got the same advice. You know, read through all the stories in the Bible. Now, for those of you who don't know, maybe your Bible had a lot of dust on it like mine did, the Bible is practically all stories, so it didn't take long for me to find a couple of stories that spoke to me. But the one I was particularly drawn to was the story of Deborah. With that being said, I'm going to ask you to open up your Bibles to the book of Judges, and we're going to be working on chapter 4, verses 3 through 9. and then I'm going to ask the witness from verse 18 and 23. So I'll give you guys a few seconds to get there. Alright. And it reads, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord, for he had 900 chariots of iron. In 20 years he mightily oppressed the children of Israel. And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel and Mount Ephraim. And the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. And she sent and called Barak, the son of Abimelech, out of Kadesh Naphtali, and said unto him, Hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, Go, and draw towards Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and of the children of Zebulun. And I will draw unto thee to the river of Kishon, Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude, and I will deliver him into thine hand. And Barak said unto her, If thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go. And she said, I will surely go with thee, notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor, for the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. And Deborah rose and went with Barak to Kadesh. Hopping over to verse 18. And Jael went to meet Sisera, and said unto him, Turn in, my lord, turn in to me. Fear not. And when he had turned in unto her into the tent, she covered him with a mantle. And he said unto her, Give me, I pray thee, a little water to drink, for I am thirsty. And she opened a bottle of milk and gave him drink and covered him. Again he said unto her, Stand in the door of the tent, and it shall be when any man doth come and inquire of thee, and say, Is there any man here, that thou shalt say no? Then Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent and took a hammer in her hand and went softly unto him and smote the nail into his temples and fastened it into the ground. But he was fast asleep and weary, so he died. And behold, as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him and said unto him, Come, and I will show thee the man whom thou seekest. And when he came into her tent, behold, Sisera lay dead, and the nail was in his temples. Verse 23, So God subdued on that day Jabin the king of Canaan before the children of Israel. Real quick, I just want to add to the witness from chapter 5. I'm going to go from verse 7 to 12 very quickly. It says, The inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel until that I, Deborah, arose. That I arose a mother in Israel. They chose new gods, but then was war in the gates. Was there a shield or spear seen among 40,000 in Israel? My heart is toward the governors of Israel that offered themselves willingly among the people. Bless ye the Lord. Speak ye that ride on white asses, ye that sit in judgment and walk by the way. They that are delivered from the noise of archers in the places of drawing water, there shall they rehearse the righteous acts of the Lord, even the righteous acts toward the inhabitants of his villages in Israel. Then shall the people of the Lord go down to the gates. Awake, awake, Deborah. Awake, awake, under a sunrise, Barak, and lead thy captivity captive, thou son of Abimelech. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We transition into the prayer. Just bow your heads for me. Lord, I come to you today humble. Thank you for another opportunity to present myself at the throne of grace. I pray for the strength only you can provide, the knowledge only you can share, and the understanding only you can give.
Amen.
Lord, I pray that you would open up my heart to readily receive the messages of your word so that I can properly convey into the hearts of these people.
Amen.
Allow me to decrease, to become a vessel through which your word is amplified and understood by this congregation. And I ask that those who need you would receive you. This is my prayer, and I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Great. So my sermon today is titled, The Power of a Praying Mother. And as we work through the text, the meaning of that will become more apparent to you. But before we do that, I want to provide a bit of context for the book of Judges. So for those of you who don't know, Judges takes place in the 300 years between when Joshua claimed the promised land for the Israelites and when the monarchy arose under Saul and David.
Amen.
Also during this time, we can see that the Israelites had grown complacent with the covenant they had made with God under Moses. And they had begun to find new gods. They were running their lives on their accord and not according to the will of God. And because of this, God did not protect them from those with malice intent.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to go ahead and look back at verse 3. We see that one of these oppressors was Jabin, the king of Canaan, and the leader of his army, Sisera. Now the text says that Sisera was in command of 900 chariots, through which he mightily oppressed the children of Israel for 20 years.
Yeah.
Alright, so I'm going to read right from verse 4 again, and it says, "And Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, she judged Israel at that time. And she dwelt under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel and the Mount Ephraim, and the children of Israel came up to her for judgment." Okay, so what's happening in this verse? Well, verse 4, we're being introduced to Deborah. Okay, and she was the prophetess who judged Israel at that time. Now, during the 300-year span, all the prophets who guided Israel were called judges. Now, if you were to look up the definition of a judge right now on Google, one of the first definitions you will see is that it is someone that decides the results of.
Right.
And in the entire book of Judges, Deborah is the only female judge, which means we have to take a closer look at her and who she is. So keep that in mind as we work through the text. So let me go, we're going to go from verse 6. "And she sent and called Barak, the son of Abinoam, out of Kadesh Naphtali, and said unto him, Hath not the Lord God of Israel commanded, saying, Go and draw toward Mount Tabor, and take with thee 10,000 men of the children of Naphtali and of the children of Zebulun. And I will draw unto thee to the river of Kishon Sisera, the captain of Jabin's army with his chariots and his multitude. And I will deliver him into thine hand."
Amen.
Right. So what's being said here? When I read this, I think the most important thing I got from this is that Deborah starts off her line with "hath not," and that's important because it's a question. And what that means, it means Barak had been sitting on the promises of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Barak had been called before Deborah even called him, spoke to him directly from the Lord, and he had been hesitant. And we'll see that right in verse 9. So Barak says unto her, verse 8, "And Barak said unto her, If thou wilt go with me, then I will go. But if thou wilt not go with me, then I will not go."
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's Barak showing his hesitance. He's unwilling to jump head first right into the promises of God. And that's going to lead you into verse 9. And she said, "I will surely go with thee, notwithstanding the journey that thou takest shall not be for thine honor, for the Lord shall sell Sisera into the hand of a woman." And Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. So what did Deborah say here? You know, in verse 9 it says, "So because Barak was so hesitant to receive the honor of delivering his people from the tyranny of the king, it was given to another." Just that quickly, you know what I'm saying? You know, how many people know that God won't wait forever? You know, God wants to bless you, but if your heart's not receptive to the promises of God, he will easily give the blessing to someone who is.
Okay,
I could see that right there, but here we go. So who did God give the blessing to, right? So that's where we get to verse 18. And verse 18 says, "Jael went out to meet Sisera, and said unto him, Turn in, my lord. Turn into me. Fear not. And when he had turned into her, into the tent, she covered him with a mantle." Right, now I'm going to go ahead and skip down to verse 21. "But then Jael, Heber's wife, took a nail of the tent, and took a hammer into her hand, and went softly unto him, and smote the nail into his temples, and fastened it into the ground, for he was fast asleep and weary, so he died. And behold, as Barak pursued Sisera, Jael came out to meet him, and said unto him, Come, and I will show thee the man whom thou seekest. And when he came into her tent, behold, Sisera lay dead, and the nail was in his temple. So God subdued on that day Jabin, the king of Canaan, before the children of Israel."
Amen.
Okay, all right. And so before we continue, I just want you to understand who Jael is. Jael was the wife of Heber, who was a friend of Jabin, who was the king that was oppressing the Israelites at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And what this is so important because it shows you just how great that God is. The great thing about God is there's no prerequisites to enjoying the blessings of God. It's not like a job application where you need to have a bachelor's degree, 7 years of working experience, a referral, and high marks just to apply. No, the only thing you need for God's application is an open heart ready to receive it. So I read verse 21, I read all the way through verse 23, and that's where it is right there. And you might be asking yourself, you know, Jordan, that's great, but how does that relate to the message, right? Jael wasn't a mother. Barak certainly wasn't a mother. So who was the mother that prayed? And look how great God is. He revealed it to us right in chapter 5 and verse 7. He says, the inhabitants of the villages ceased. They ceased in Israel until that I, Deborah, arose. That I arose a mother in Israel.
I wanted
to read it out of the New Living Translation, but give me my phone. I'm just going to grab that real quick. I want to read it out of the New Living Translation because it's easier to understand. Here it is. There were few people left in the villages of Israel until Deborah arose as a mother for Israel. Now I'm going to go ahead and work all the way down to verse 12. When Israel chose new gods were erected at the city gates, yet not a shield or spear could be seen among 40,000 warriors in Israel. My heart is with the commanders of Israel, but those who volunteered for war, praise the Lord. Consider this. You who ride on fine donkeys, you who sit on fancy saddle blankets, and you who walk along the road, listen to the village musicians gathered at the watering holes. They recount the righteous victories of the Lord and the victories of his villagers in Israel. Then the people of the Lord march down to the city gates. Wake up, Deborah. Wake up. Wake up, wake up, and sing a song. Arise, Barak. Lead your captives away, son of Abimelech. Right? And the reason I like the New Living Translation on that one is because there's so much in it. It said that there were few people left in the villages of Israel. Now, you can choose to read that literally, but when I read it, I think it means that there was few believers left in Israel.
Right.
And that didn't change until a mother arose in Israel. Now, I told you earlier that you have to pay special attention to Deborah because she is the only female judge in the book of Judges. And now God's telling us that she wasn't just a woman, but she was also a mother in Israel. Now, before she prayed, in verse 8, it said that there was war at the gates, false gods being worshipped, years of oppression. But when Deborah arose and prayed for deliverance, God stepped in.
When mother sang songs
to the Lord, that's when he chose to step in to the situation.
Right.
So we see the power that a praying mother has, but why is it so important that she was praying? Okay? Now, all the Taylor members on live, on Facebook, you guys all know this. Pastor Scott used to say it like this. Prayer is when we talk to God, but God's word is when he speaks to us.
And
I just want to look at the first half of that. And it's so critical because you have to understand that God gave us dominion over the earth. He gave us the free will to decide whether or not we would call on him to help us rule the earth, or if we would shun his help and try to rule and order through the chaos on our own. Okay, and if you and I believe in the same God, you know that God is always watching. He sees the troubles, he sees the hardships, and he's right at the door, waiting for you to let him. And the reason I'm glad is that even when you and I don't pray, God gives special power to a mother to pray for your deliverance.
You
saw how the Lord's prayer saved the whole nation of Israel. So I'm just encouraging the mothers, I'm encouraging the aunts, the grandmothers, the nanas, don't stop praying because your prayer can be the one to deliver your whole family.
My Lord, my God. Yes. Amen.
Praise
the
Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. We thank Jordan for that great message. Encouraging our mothers as well as our fathers, encouraging all of us to remain steadfast in prayer.
Yeah.
At this time, now that you've heard the word of God, maybe it is that someone has been praying for you.
Yes.
And at this time, if you feel the Holy Spirit pulling at your heart, you feel an opportunity now to receive Christ as your personal Savior, well, you can do that here today, even online. If you would like to receive Christ, I'm just going to ask you to repeat after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I acknowledge today that I am a sinner. And I acknowledge today that I need your love gift to me in the form of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I accept him by faith now as my personal Savior. And I will live for him until he comes again. You have prayed this prayer. Christ today is your Savior and your new King.
Yes.
Today, a mother's prayer has been answered
yes.
by the fact that now you have accepted Christ
Amen.
As your personal Savior. And so again, we thank Jordan Ford for that great message, how appropriate on a back-to-school Sunday.
Yes.
I think all of us can be a witness. And oftentimes, it was our mothers who prayed us through.
Yes.
Elementary school, high school, college, graduate school. Somebody was praying for us. And we did not arrive or achieve simply on our own.
Amen.
So thank you again to Jordan Ford. And at this time, we're going to have Jamaica's coming. And she's going to do our Celeste William Scholarship Awards. And so we want to recognize all of our young people who have done exceptionally well in the past school year. And so Jamaica's coming at this time. Thank you.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. I thoroughly enjoyed that message. And I trust that you did too. All right, so Jordan might not like this, but I have to say it. No, I have to say it. Long before his father was his pastor, many of you know, friends and family know that his grandmother, matriarch, Reverend Lucille Radcliffe Ford, who has gone on to be with the Lord, was his pastor. And so it's so appropriate that the message and the story that spoke to him to deliver this Sunday was about the power of a praying mother and a praying woman, because he experienced that from day one. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. And I thank God for him. I thank God for Pastor. I thank God for you. And on this Sunday, we thank God for the children who are doing an exceptional job at their academics, at plowing through, putting their head down, and just grinding, getting it done so that they can shine the way that God intends for them to shine, for him to get the glory. And our Celeste Williams Scholarship is a time when the leadership of this Young Life Experience Ministry, we call it the YLE Ministry, acknowledges those kids who just went above and beyond, digging their heels in and doing what they had to do both in school, at home, and at church by participating in ministry. So this is just their opportunity to do that on this Sunday. I know it is a very hard job because we have so many talented students, but they did narrow it down to about four or the most five in every category. And I will have those in attendance here provide applause after I finish each session, acknowledging kids. We do have one special award, which I want to state before I get into the high school, middle school, and elementary school awards. We have a most improved student award which is important, and that goes, you see on the screen, Rice and Tisdale. Yay! Where's Donald Rice? Where's Donald? We're going to go right into our high school awards. We have four who were awarded academic acknowledgments in high school. John Mitchell Curitan, who had an average of an A+. Caleb Abrams, who had an average, Aaron Abrams, who had an average of an A, and who was also graduating and going on to Lehigh University. Jessica Lyons, who had an average of an A. Those are our high school awardees. Let's give them a hand. We had three stellar middle school students this year. It's just hard to top this performance. Our first was Joshua Curitan, who had an average of an A+ this year. We also had Logan Lyons, who had an average of an A, and Jackson Ford, who had an average of an A+. Let's give it to them. Let's give it up to them. Amen. Amen. I think I hear Jackson clapping for himself back there, like really hard. Amen. Well deserved. Our elementary school students have also been doing their thing this year. This year we had a total of six elementary school students who just went above and beyond. The first is Gabriel Curitan, who had an average of an A+. Jacob Ford, the baby in my household, who had an average of an A+. Zoe Price, who had an average of an A+. Isabella Davis, who had an average of a B+. Noah Abrams, who had an average of an B+. And Kennedy McCoy, who had an average of a B+. Those are our stellar elementary school students. Hard-working students, our most improved students, our high school students, our middle school students, our elementary school students, who have been awarded this year the Celeste Williams Scholarship. Amen?
So again, thanks and congratulations to all of our award winners. Elementary, middle school, and high school. A real big shout out to my man Bryce for being the most improved. I also want to thank all of the young people who participated Friday night in our virtual joint night service. We had a great time, and all of the performances were par excellent. So thanks to all of our young people for your participation in that event on Friday night, and also for all of our parents and young adults who chimed in as well. So before we move to the offering, I do want to make one special announcement as it relates to our youth ministry. About a month ago, I did share with you that that one of our early members, Sister Christina Tassel, she was not a founding member, but she was there at the very onset of the church. And so with her membership early on, she brought all of her children, Paul Williams, Kevin Williams, Michael Williams. We were all there attending church together in the youth ministry some 40, 50 years ago. Shared with you a couple months ago that Kevin Williams passed away. and we did have a memorial service for him shortly after his passing. But in honor of his memory and his legacy, his mother, Sister Christina Hassel, has asked the church if she could endow a scholarship in honor of Kevin Williams. And so while we're in the process of working through all of that, that scholarship will be called the Mark Kevin Williams Scholarship Award, and it will go to the most improved student every year that we have our Back to School Sunday. So one, I would like to thank her and her family for honoring the legacy and memory of their son, of her son, Mark Kevin Williams. Thank her for her support, spiritual support, and her financial support for those students that will receive that award in the coming years. Again, while we don't have everything in place today, our inaugural recipient and winner will in fact be Bryson as our most improved student this year. So again, I want to thank Bryson for the great effort he put in the classroom. And again, I would like to thank Sister Crystal, Christina Hassel, along with her family, the Williams family, Paul and Barbara Williams, Micah, and all of them for their financial support to this endowed scholarship. So I'm just sharing that with you today. Also, with that, as we prepare to receive our offering, I am asking everyone, if you're viewing us today, if you would make a special contribution today in your giving to our youth ministry. So if you're giving online or via text, when you select that drop-down box, if you could include an offering for our youth ministry or young life experience, that would be greatly, greatly appreciated. So with that, our instructions for giving. If you are, if you would like to give via text, you can text the code TAYLOR61 to the phone number 73256, after which you will receive a link back on your phone that will give you instruction and how you can give by text. If you would like to give through our website, if you're on your computer or laptop right now, you can go to our website, taylortabernacle.com. Once there, go to the giving page. There you can press the button there for giving, and it will provide you with the instructions for giving online via our website. If you would like to give via mail, feel free to include your check or money order and mail it to Taylor Tabernacle at P.O. Box 6309, Philadelphia, PA 19139. Also, for those who do give via mail, if in fact you are in need of more offering envelopes, feel free to either call the church, 215-748-4578, or if you're online, use the contact page and just send us a note and let us know that you need new or more offering envelopes. When we go into the office, we will collect a few and mail them out to you. And again, as your pastor, I would like to thank all of you for your faithful and financial support of the ministry, especially during these last 4 or 5 months in dealing with the pandemic and our inability to regather for worship. Thank you for your financial support. Thank you for your consistency in giving. It has helped the ministry to continue to move forward. I also would like to mention again that we are right now planning for a mid-September to reopen the church. If you have any questions, comments, concerns, if you want to participate in that planning process, our reopening task force, if you will, is comprised of Cassandra McCoy, Chanita Scott, and Zakia Price. So feel free to reach out to one of them or all of them if you would like to help in that regard. They are doing an excellent job in helping us prepare and to get ourselves ready to reopen. As we get closer towards the end of August look at things and how the city is faring with the virus, at that time we'll announce a specific Sunday in September that we will be regathering. Hopefully it'll be September. If not, we have to push it out. We'll let you know that as well. So I think that brings us to the conclusion of our worship service. Again, I thank all of you for participating all weekend long, Friday night and our virtual join night. Then this Sunday is part of our back to school Sunday. Thank God for all of our young people. You know, I love you. I'm impressed by you. All of our young people, even those not named, not mentioned, continue to do an excellent job, not only in the classroom, but in life itself. Many of them are wonderful examples of Christian life living in this world. So I thank God for all of you. Thank God for the congregation at large. And I'm going to ask those that are here with me, if you'll come and we'll offer this benediction and close out this Sunday's worship service. Again, we want to thank Jordan Ford for a great message. The thing that I'm most proud about regarding Jordan's message is more than his message, but the character of his life.
Amen.
All of us as preachers or messengers of the Word of God, our greatest challenge is not communicating the Word of God. Our greatest challenge is living up to the Word of God.
So amen.
We thank God for Jordan. We thank God for all of our young people everywhere. So with that, I wish you peace. I pray that the love of God and His countenance would shine down upon you, that He would go with you and stand by you and fight for you each and every day. And until we meet again, in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
God bless you, Taylor.